What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter/X. Maybe we're coming to you later through Audible. Probably not Audible. I don't think we're an audiobook, so we're not on there. But Spotify Apple or Amazon or something like that. Hey, maybe you're listening later. That's all good. And we got a great show for you tonight. Justin is coming to us live from his new streaming setup. He's a Twitch streamer now.
I'm a haunted house guy now. I just live in one.
You're a haunted Twitch streamer. Is that a thing?
Exactly. That's a great idea. Made $1 million. Where I'm having a Halloween party in my basement, and so it's a little bit different down here. Scarier basement.
I gotta say, it doesn't, because for anybody who's listening to the podcast, is you've got like this really nice, at least through the camera, like purple light going on. You got like a little bit of an orange light on your. There's the
creepy clippers. There's
don't you forget about old Rusty Shears over here.
Old Rusty Shears.
That's your porn name, right?
Yes. Oh, thank you for giving me the bump.
No problem. Check him out on OnlyFans. Also, check out Pete on OnlyFans, who actually is on OnlyFans.
Pete is on OnlyFans. Well, no, I'm on Lonely Fans. It's a little bit different. It's sadder. Fans. It's much sadder.
Wait, no, Pete actually is on OnlyFans. Find
not, him. Not actually can, me.
We got to push that.
Yeah, you got to put some stuff up. It's Pete will eat cheesesteaks for Buddy, but it's all private. So it's
that sounds like something that Pete would definitely do, and not us trying to make Pete mad or do something in that regard.
Speaking of which, we have two great guests tonight. Is that what you're
going to say? Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we bring them in? They are the creators of The Devil Paid Men, which is on its final legs on Kickstarter. And we're going to try to push it over the edge here.
Yeah.
Eddie Klinker and Jimmy Kutsai. Here we go. Hello. Yeah.
We're
welcome.
In.
Welcome, guys.
What's up?
Welcome to the stream. Excited to chat with you. You've got this great Kickstarter that's running right now. I do want to point out right at the top here, and I'm going to drop the link for anybody who's watching live, but you have The Devil Paid Men up on Kickstarter. As I'm looking at it right now, you got 50 hours to go. You're at $2,973 of your $3,500 goal.
So close.
We're so close. I'm going to put this here. Let's see if we can get it like a little closer. I don't know if we can get the whole Comic Book Club bump, but we'll see what we do.
Yeah,
I promised these guys, Pete, Justin, before we'd have one of those thermometer things. Like,
similar to Pete's OnlyFans, how he has the thermometer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pete is raising money for.
You don't want to know what he does with that thermometer on OnlyFans.
Oh boy, he's on a site called Cockstarter. It's a little different. You guys are gonna really like.
Well, listen, before we get in and talk about the book, though, I did want to mention that every week on the show we have, and this is true, a real professional chef, Brett Macris, a.k.a. Stray Bullet, a.k.a.
Stray Bullies.
There you go. Who either curates or creates a drink for us here on the show that we can drink. This started during the pandemic, and it's just kind of continued because we like alcohol. He created a drink for your book this week called The Devil Paid Men. In bourbon.
Oh my god.
That's so cool.
It's bourbon, Aperol, Paychowds, bitters, and a cherry garnish. I made it last night.
Ooh, it looks delicious.
I made it again tonight. It is delicious.
Hey, you're on a bender, right, Alex?
I made it last night into tonight is what I meant. I haven't stopped.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Very good.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, it's got to be bourbon.
Yes. Well, there you go. Listen, so there's your drink for the show, special created for you by the awesome Stray Bullet.
Thank you, Stray Bullet. That's very
good. Let's talk about the book. Let's see if it measures up to this delicious drink.
Wow, Alex.
I hope so.
Pressure there. I'm sorry. Eddie, do you want to do the pitch for the book?
Yeah, absolutely. We're super excited about this. So the title is Devil Paid Men, as we said. It follows a group of specialized knights who were tasked in their military to be the first people to go into the line of battle first and take down the front lines. And for their greater risk, they were paid double. And this follows a specialized group of those kind of warriors as they have to overcome death and become the bitters of, well, it's in the title, the devil. So we're very excited about this. It's a story that is very personal to me. It deals a lot with overcoming fears of death, with redemption. And I was very excited to bring it to Jimmy. And Jimmy's style and art and character designs have really just kind of throttled this thing into a world that we can't wait to bring people into. So really, really pumped.
Awesome. Where did the idea first come from? I mean, it's interesting to hear you talk about it being personal. Did it start with that fear of death thing and then you kind of expanded it there? Did it start with the double paid men?
So it started with the double paid men, which I came across at the Chicago Art Museum. They have an Arms and Armory exhibit, and there was a giant two-handed sword, or it was called the two-handed sword. It was huge. It's probably like 4 feet long. And on it, they had the little description that said this sword was used by a group of men who were tasked to go first into battle and take down an enemy's like defenses. And they were paid double, and they got the nickname the double paid men. And that thing just like became a little bug in my ear and just like planted into my brain. I couldn't stop thinking about that little thing that I read at the museum. And so started working on some ideas. And then really when I kind of brought it to Jimmy at C2E2, I think that was last year. Jimmy was like, yeah, I was like, hey, I got some cool ideas with knights. And he was like, oh yeah, absolutely. And then finally, I think when I really figured out the kind of engine to it was when I incorporated a lot of like my own personal fears of death into these characters and how I kind of struggle with that. And they all kind of have a little bit of a different facet of it, like acceptance, ignorance, unacceptance. That was really kind of like that light bulb moment when I had this cool idea and I saw this cool thing at the museum that I wanted to do. And I got Jimmy involved and Jimmy started making these character designs. And then I was working with Frankie White on the script. And that's really when it kind of just like hammered home of like, oh, I want to tell a story about overcoming death and what that means to me. So, yeah.
Wow. Awesome. That's so cool. What do you think everyone's rate would be to be first on the front lines in a medieval battle? Are you a double? Would you try to negotiate up one and a half?
Yeah, I think I would try to get up there. I think I would be double. I'd be like, hey, I'm not going to last very long. Can we get a little bit more? Anyway,
see if I can get
my family a little bit set up when I eventually do not last very long. So, yeah.
Jimmy, what about you? I mean, obviously, Eddie was just talking a little bit about bringing you onto the project, but what drew you to it in particular? And then once you were on board, what was important to you in terms of capturing the look of this world?
Yeah. So right out the gate, I love knights. So that was just that was kind of the hit right there. I also do a lot of stuff dealing with like the devil and hell and everything else. So I'm kind of already into that whole realm of design and stuff like that anyway. So I was already kind of a shoo-in as soon as Eddie started talking. As far as like the designs and stuff go, I really wanted it to feel like I didn't want it to be like accurate. Right. I wanted it to kind of feel like Konami and Capcom meets like Shrek and a Tails Knight all mixed together, right? And then I kind of went in with that in mind, and yeah, so that's kind of how the designs came about, the page layouts, costumes, you know.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mix, I think, of these, and I don't know if this is your usual style, but like these very heavy lines, and particularly like the pages we're looking at here, the sample pages, it feels like everybody's sort of jammed into these boxes in this fun way, like the world's a little too close. What is it about that? I can see you nodding. So what is it about that in particular that you find fun or interesting from an artistic perspective?
So I really have to give a lot of credit to my colorist, Linda Scott Campbell, for allowing me to kind of get these pages chock full of stuff, right? I mean, we're working really close together on this one just to keep everything organized. But I wanted it to kind of feel like, heavy metal. Like you're listening to a thrash metal band, it's 1988, and these lines are kind of giving you that vibe, that feeling. Yeah. That was the hope. I kind of think of like a page as a song, right? So you can kind of see like the motif repeating within it. So that's kind of like the guitar riff, right? And then I usually have like a panel that I'm like, all right, here's the guitar solo, French, you know? So I try to incorporate that into every page of this story. So just because I feel like it's an exciting story. Something about it being in medieval times already makes it a shoo-in for this type of like heavy metal vibe, this heavy ink style that I'm kind of slinging around and everything. So, yeah.
I was gonna say it feels bleak in a great way, and then the faces just pop so hard, which I think is really, it's so great. Especially it feels like it's like these men pop because they're willing to sort of risk it all above everyone else.
Thank you so much.
Well, Eddie, for you then, and you touched on this a little bit, but once you started to see the designs of the characters come in, how much did that affect how you're approaching the story?
Oh, a lot. I can admit that, like, when I went to Jimmy and kind of sent him character descriptions, that what I was in my head was nothing like this, in the best way, because it really kind of built the environment in my head as to, like, what these characters would act like. And I love to get into the mind of a character of like, what would this character, how would this character react to spilling a beer on themselves? How would this character react to, you know, stubbing their toe? And that was just so informed by the character designs. And then it also heightened maybe some parts of these characters that I already had that I thought like, oh, I love that we have, you know, one of my favorite characters, his name is Niles. And he's kind of like he's a short bruiser, loves to fight, but he's also very sweet and kind and has like a very affection for like animals and like helpless people that maybe don't have it. And I just loved the juxtaposition of Jimmy's design for that guy who just looks like you would never fuck with him in your life towards like being like this very sweet and open and kind person. I was just like that. It made it so much more fully realized, like a 360 degree character, which is really cool.
Yeah. Jimmy, did you go to the museum or look at the pieces that Eddie was talking about at all for reference? Not at all.
I will admit I'm definitely more of a less is more type of artist. So I kind of started, the wheel started spinning once I started hearing the ideas, and it's like, how am I gonna make this, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like prior to my designs and everything else, and I'm, forgive me, Eddie, you've already brought this up, but all of them were supposed to technically have like these two-handed swords and everything else, and I don't know, I just kind of felt like their personality type and their weapon could kind of go hand in hand along with like the shape language of the character. So if you notice, like Niles is mostly circle, or Einar is a triangle, Borum is more square, or I guess circle or oval, however you want to.
This is great. So not only do you learn about history, you also learn about shapes when you're reading this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. So cool.
Like taking a class
for all ages.
Yeah, so I can give this one to my kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Eddie, when you were in the museum, were you there looking for inspiration?
No.
Were you just wandering around? Do you find yourself going back?
There with my soon-to-be in-laws. Parent-in-laws, we just like, you know, the in-laws coming to town, you got to find something to do with them. So maybe some people know. So we brought him to the museum, and I remember walking around that, and I felt like after that I took a picture of it, and then I just kind of was just like frazzled brain because I just had a bunch of ideas going through my head, or I was like, all right, mom and dad in law, it's time for you guys to go home. I got some things to do.
Eddie's really into that sword.
We have to get it for him.
I don't know. Hanging out with in laws, daydreaming about a double handled sword that can really fuck people up. I can see how you can make that.
Luckily we didn't get there. It was I did not go there for inspiration, but I do love to find inspiration like that. That's always like my favorite thing to do is maybe go somewhere being like, oh, I'm not looking for inspiration, but maybe I'll just kind of take a stop and look around and see what piques my interest. That's why we go to museums, right?
But yeah. That's when I went to the podcast museum. That's where I came up with this show.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's right. You did. The podcast museum.
Yes.
Is that there everyone's were apartment?
Three dinosaurs with comic books talking on a microphone. Yeah. And I was
just
like,
little raptor hands, one finger raised. Like, I actually have an idea. Yeah. A point.
Which city is this one located in? What apartment complex?
Yeah,
all cities everywhere.
Just look for the white guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the that's what Mr. Rogers said, right? Look for the white guys. Anyway, why don't we talk about you get back to your Kickstarter? What can people expect? Obviously, they can get a digital version of the comic. I believe a physical version of the comic as well. What else potentially could people be getting if they pledge?
Yeah. You want to go ahead, Jimmy?
Yeah. So we're also offering remarks. So I'll draw up a little one of the four characters on the cover, and I don't know. I'm really excited about it because I'm getting new markers, and I get to actually really experiment. So I think it's definitely worth picking up just for that alone, because I intend on doing some
cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that one I'm excited for. Jimmy does just great little sketches on the cover that, you know, is just a very small increase from what the physical tier is. It's just like $6 more, and Jimmy's going to do a customized little remark on there. Another one we're really excited about that we launched just, I believe, last week that is only going to be Kickstarter exclusive is our Maria Wolf variant cover. It is Kickstarter only. You'll only be able to get it there. It looks badass. We just got the colors from Linda today on it. If you check out the campaign, it's in there. So and then also I do want to shout out that we have a crazy deal going on for a 6x9 commission from Jimmy. It's less than what he would charge at a con, and you get the physical copy of the book.
Wow.
So yeah, and there's a little example in there, but if you go to Jimmy's Instagram, you'd be like, oh yeah, I think I need one of these. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, listen, guys, congratulations so far.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. You got the last couple of hours here. I really do hope you pull it out because it's an awesome project.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us on. This has been great.
Absolutely.
No worries. Absolutely. Good luck. Good luck out there. And hopefully we'll have you on again for Devil Paid Men number 2.
Whatever. Yeah.
Why not? Right?
Yeah.
All right. See you at the guys. Museum.
Thank you. See you at the museum.
Take care. Podcasting museum. All right. Bye, guys.
See ya.
All right. Once again, the project is called The Devil Paid Men. It is on Kickstarter now.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Let me see if the time changed. Nope, still 50 hours. So if you're listening to this, when this goes up, you still have time. It's all good. Go pledge it. Go support them because they're very, very close. And it is a great project.
Yes.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kid series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more. And folks, we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions.
Woo!
Yeah.
And for you is drop a question in the comments over on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Before we do that, while people are getting their questions in, I think I know what both Justin and I are drinking, which is the Devil Paid Men bourbon.
The devil made me do it.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Very good drink from
Very Simo. Good. I mean, this is something I would just haphazardly pour.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is like right up my alley.
No, it's really good. Like the Aperol, rather than having, say, a Campari or something, really kind of mellows it out a little bit, I'd say.
Yeah, it's very chill.
Yeah.
Speaking of very chill, do you think this lighting really changes my vibe?
I know you're coming from a sketchy basement. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, I have the opposite reaction from Pete that I probably look spooky to you where you are. For me, it legitimately looks like one of those Twitch streamer backgrounds that are always purple. Like you got to get a gaming chair. You're playing Spider-Man 2 this weekend and they can follow along.
Get a gaming chair. Yeah. I come down to the basement and just.
Because do you guys hear me creaking? I worry about this all the time. I'm doing it. I'm creaking pretty hard here. But
for many years, I sat on the cooler when we've been doing this show, and now I've got a chair. I really upgraded.
So before we get to questions for the audience, though,
wait, Pete, what are you drinking? Did you say?
Oh yeah, Pete. What?
It's the last one of my Stay Golden Pony Boy lager. So join the tall boy. Yeah,
nice. So we had a question that was asked in our Patreon Slack, actually, for Justin.
The Pete JT I, is?
The JT says, Pete wow, and I ended up taping the Loki podcast for Marvel Vision this week. I was going to say solo, but duo, I guess, is the way we did it. And we went in pretty hard on Jonathan Majors' performance as Victor Timely in the episode.
Positively.
No. Very no, negatively.
I listened to the episode.
Oh,
okay. I heard.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, of course. I always, and I just say what I would say in my out loud. I try to interrupt you. It doesn't work when we're not recording.
Yeah, much less effective. So the question was, we were really going in on Jonathan Majors' acting in particular in the episode and his acting choices. But the question was, Justin, as a classically trained actor, what you thought about his choices, how he arrived at them. A little more than anybody who's listening. Probably going to talk about spoilers for Loki episode 3. But Justin, what was your take on this?
Well, and I won't get into too many spoilers. We know that Jonathan Majors is in this show and he is playing a character very much like Kang or a variant of Kang. And from an acting perspective, if I had to sort of diagnose what happened here, he was the breakout star at the end of last season. Like, was like huge, big, you can do anything. This character is going to be everything in the MCU. So I feel like coming into season two, they were like, go ahead, do whatever you want. And so he's what is in the theater called chewing up the scenery. He's taking way too long. And it seems like they never were like, all right, that's no faster. Or like he was, it feels a little underdirected and like sort of letting him go. And like, it worked last time. Let's let him make whatever choice he wants to make. From a directing perspective, from his personal choice as an actor perspective, I'm sure like he's already played Kang, what, 3 major roles and many, many more in the background of the post-credit scene. I'm sure he's like, how can I make this one a little different? And anticipating what the Kang that is going to be actually the more main character is going to be less odd or have a speaking cadence that we would expect and can hear as a villain for an entire very long movie. So I feel like he's like, how can I make this one make a choice that will be very different and a choice that I don't mind not returning to? Because I think it's fair to say, despite the fact that Marvel made the choice to introduce their major movie villain in a TV show, which I feel like is increasingly going to be identified as a mistake, both from a pure creative point of view and also because of all of the controversy surrounding Jonathan Majors, which we're obviously not commenting on right here, but is very much a factor in my viewing of Loki and the future of this whole enterprise. So I think they're just, he's trying to make choices. They're making fewer choices from a directing point of view. And that ends up with this very strange performance that, you know, in a very tough episode to watch, an episode, he was still sort of the person I was like looking to a lot because everything else was straight up gobbledygook. But it was still very odd.
Yeah. And just to kind of like shout out to Garbage Chute Droids here. Yeah, the dramatic pausing and the kind of like drawn out stuttering was just, it was driving you crazy. It was
such. Did you add a dramatic pause there on purpose to show that it is difficult?
All right. Yeah. Very nice. The only thing I wanted to add on, which I think I touched on the podcast a little bit, is I think he just overthought it. You know, it's very clear that it was written as a con man for the episode and supposed to be like a fast talking, smooth guy, con man on stage, big showman, Hugh Jackman of the Grody Showman type thing, or like music man type thing.
Stop
like
saying something man.
Or man,
Hugh
man.
Jackman, Hugh Jackman, man, music man.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman got bit by a radioactive Jack, and that's how he became.
Sorry, Hugh are you Jackman. Saying Hugh Jackman or Huge Ackman?
Huge Ackman is what I was saying, yes. Anyway, that's what it was supposed to be. And instead, I'm sure he was like, what if instead of that, I did this thing that I did, which is the opposite of that? And like you're saying, because the direction wasn't strong enough or Kevin Feige was going to bat for him or whatever. They just let him do it and it stinks.
Well, and I wonder what the writer's intention was there. If it was like a fast talking con man, which is, you know, sort of a cliche. Maybe yeah. that's, I don't know if I would prefer that choice because that would feel a little like, okay, I see. I have seen
here. Here's before, so. Yes. I agree with you that it would have been a cliche choice, but at the same time, it would have been more fun to watch. It would have been faster. And I definitely said this in the podcast, but it would have made a lot more sense for the Loki show where Loki is grappling with, am I a con man?
Yeah. Still. I agree. Like, if anything, whether he is fast talking or not, I would have liked to see him with more charm and more theatricality or something that felt like there's a reason this entire town is throwing. I mean, he gets paid $1,000 for nothing. I would be like, I would be a little more charming rather than.
Yeah,
like,
he gets paid $1,000 for nothing. And Loki the entire time is like, he's terrifying. And watching this, I was like, no, he's not. What are you talking about? He's a doof. Come on.
$1,000 in 1893? That's Come cash, on. Guy. That was all the money. That's every dollar they had in the whole country.
Well, anyway, that was bad is, I guess, the point. Why don't we move on to another one? This is from Omnia Soul Art Show. If any of you could write a Punisher series, what would be the cliffhanger in the first issue?
Ooh. Easy answer. I know, Pete, I'm going to give you a minute to think. Because I'm sure you have a big answer coming. But, I mean, just Dawkins' claws going into him would have to be, like, the cliffhanger. And, like, a couple people waiting with needle and thread to sew him back together has got to be where I would be.
Wow.
I mean, again, just to give you a
second. I got so excited about the opportunity of this question. And then Justin was like, hold on, Pete, before you enjoy yourself, let me ruin this whole experience for you first.
I didn't want to go after you and ruin after. You know, I don't want to retroact. Now you get the chance to shine.
Go ahead, Pete, and then I'll say mine.
Okay. Well, I was thinking a couple of things. One would be that, you know, maybe he's kind of like cornered in a shootout and he's out of bullets. And, you know, they're like getting closer to them as the first issue ends. You know what I mean? Something like that. Or, you know. I think a nice cliffhanger is always like, oh, like what's going to happen? Better tune in next issue. You know what I mean? One of those types of things.
I would say if it's something like it, I was kind of thinking Spider-Man, but really it could be any hero. The cliffhanger at the end of the issue is like, great adventure we just went on, Frank. Hey, would you like to come to this picnic with me? What is he going to do? You know, because like a picnic normally is a lovely time. His friend has asked him, but at the same time, he has some trauma with picnics that I think we all know about.
It's hard to turn down a picnic.
I love
at the end of comics when all the heroes are like, hey, man, great hanging out with you. Call me. I wish more comics had a little end, like how we end our conversations.
But you know what the problem is? Like when Spider-Man's like, hey, man, we should hang out. Punisher's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll totally do that one time.
We'll text. Hang out by the phone. Be calling soon.
Yeah. And then they never do is the problem. And then later on, they're like, oh, my God, we keep saying this.
Honestly, I feel like Frank's so angry because he isn't being texted. He's like sending out like, hey, guys, I thought we were going to go to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. I got 5 tickets for the Eras tour and none of you showed up.
I'm a Swifty. Anybody else? That's Frank Castle. And I guess the two other boyfriend. The two other cliffhangers I would think would make total sense is Frank forgets to put on clothes and instead of his wearing all guns.
Whoops, all guns.
He shows up for a gunfight and he's only has bananas.
I thought you were gonna say knives because that was a fun joke.
I know, but see that's you know, I went the other way.
Right. You just pulled a Jonathan Majors overthinking.
Not something that I want to say. I don't want to hear that. Don't say the phrase pulling a Jonathan Majors is not a.
No, I'm sorry. This is from Edward Doherty. Question. Remember when Wizard Magazine was the only source of news about comics? Which announcement or breaking news made by them got you most excited? Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on who it was, but somebody posted a quiz from like 2004 from Wizard Magazine to the Patreon Slack, and I was like, this is great. what a time capsule. Dude, I'm going to open it up while you're...
Well, what was great about it was you actually got comic book news. That was the whole thing. It was like a great way to get excited about like what was going to happen to Wolverine coming up and all this kind of like stuff. It was less kind of pop culture stuff, and it really was just based on things that were happening in the comic books, which is great.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay, I found it. It was Rob Pettinato dropped it. I'll tell you what. Why don't you guys answer, but should we do this quiz?
Yeah, let's go.
Since we have a little time.
Well, I'll just answer really quickly. I was just going through my comics to clean up them out of the basement because of this aforementioned Halloween party. I found a bunch of old Wizards. I was looking through them. What a wild time. Really well put together magazine, just from a layout and art direction way. Really great. And
the article, flipping through those things.
Me too. What a great... And it's crazy the idea that I would go to the comic book store and buy like four comics in a Wizard when I could have just bought a fifth comic. That's crazy. That's nonsense.
But that was the whole thing. It would never work now. Remember, it was Laura. I'm blanking on so many things tonight, but Laura and Tim did that magazine, which was not Wizard. It was like the anti-Wizard, which was also really good. I miss that. I wish there was any sort of market for a comic book magazine because
it's great.
Yeah.
The feature I remember the most was when they explained how the different X-Men's powers would actually work in the real world.
Yeah.
The other thing that's maybe soured it a little bit is I've met people and worked with people who used to work at Wizard, and they're like, that was a nightmare. was
an absolute nightmare. Anyone I know who worked at Wizard is like, that was literally hell. I couldn't be less happy at a job. I was like, really?
Well, that said, since Rob Pettinato posted this Wizard... the 8th annual Wizard Fan Awards from 2001. Should we do this? Should we talk about this?
Yeah,
we can argue about this. I think
Pablo wants to take the quiz.
All right, here we go. Favorite writer: Brian Michael Bendis, Paul Jenkins, Grant Morrison, Kevin Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, or Wrighted.
Wow. Paul Jenkins.
Yeah.
Keep up.
And that's for Wolverine Origin and Universe, which I, for the life of me, cannot remember.
Don't remember that. I mean, I would say Bendis, but that feels a little maybe even early in Bendis's Bendis's
ride. Yeah, I think like Grant
Morrison.
I think Grant. I would say Grant's got it.
I would write in all of the above.
Wait, are we just taking it and putting our personal preference, or is there a correct answer?
No. It's voting, and the voting is due by March 1st, 2002. So we got to
We got time.
No, it says on the bottom here, step on it. Deadline is March 1st, 2002. Okay. Favorite penciler: Adam Kubert, Andy Kubert, brother against brother, Ed McGuinness, Frank Quitely, or Tim Sale.
Oh, and my God.
There's write in for all of these, by the way. So I'll stop saying that.
I mean, Tim Sale.
I mean, that was Tim Sale's time. Yeah, Tim Sale and Frank Quitely. Frank Quitely continued on, but this was like Tim Sale's heyday.
But Tim Sale, they put down Daredevil Yellow, which is like maybe not the best color.
Tailing off. Still, his art's
still excellent. Great, though.
The story of that is not the best.
But I'm going to say art's like...
art's unbelievable on that.
The stuff they list there, I'm sorry, I can read this stuff off if it's going to make it easier, but Andy Kubert, they list Wolverine Origin.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
Frank Quitely is New X-Men, and those...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd go Frank Quitely over there.
Especially with Grant on there. Like, Grant's New X-Men was... That was like mind blowing. Then I feel like everyone has used their style since then, but that was such a vibe. And same with Quitely's art on that.
This is an interesting one. Favorite breakout talent: Talent Caldwell, Phil Jimenez, Jeff Johns. Wow. This is, by the way, Jeff Johns, they list JSA. So this is like the beginning of his career.
Fresh.
Yeah. Greg Land or Peter Milligan.
Ooh, Peter Milligan.
Greg Land probably not going to get that hit. I mean, I don't know what to say. That's a hard question. I guess it would have to be Jeff Johns.
Yeah, I think it's between Jeff and Phil Jimenez for me. But
yeah, Jeff's
JSA, particularly when he took it solo off of James Robinson, so good.
Yeah.
Favorite inker: Danny Mickey, Mark Morales, Jimmy Pamiotti, Art Thibert, or Tim Townsend.
Oh, wow. Can you list the projects?
Yeah, sure. So Danny Mickey is Ghost Rider. Mark Morales is Uncanny X-Men. Jimmy Pamiotti is Fury. Art Thibert is Ultimate Spider-Man. And Tim Townsend is New X-Men.
Yeah.
Oof. I'm gonna give it to Jimmy. We like Jimmy.
Jimmy's great.
We do like Jimmy.
Tells all of a story, that guy.
Yes, he does. Oh my gosh, there's so many of these. Cut me off if you want to stop at any point, or I can skip them. But favorite painter: Dave Johnson, Joe Jusco, Joseph Michael Linsner, David Mack, or Alex Ross.
Oh wow! Well, I would give it up to most famous, but David Mack, yeah.
I would give it up from David Mack. Joe Jusco, best name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, Dave Johnson is for 100 bullets, which is
yes, good. Dude, that was so good.
And Alex Ross, of course, but David Mack for Daredevil is what they list. Like,
can't beat that. That is an epic run.
Oh, yeah, that is.
Favorite colorist: Laura Depew for James Andrews, Richard Eisenhoff for Wolverine Origin, Dan Kemp and Avalon for Amazing Spider-Man, Liquid Graphics for Uncanny X-Men, and Jonathan D. Smith for Tomb Raider and Universe. I'd say Richard Eisenhoff, personally.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah. Favorite letterer: Chris Eliopoulos, Todd Klein, Dave Lanfear, Ken Lopez, Richard Starkings, and Comic Craft.
Oh, wow.
Wow, Comic Craft. Been really rocketing.
Yeah,
all those folks are still working.
I love Chris Eliopoulos just as a person, whatever. But I feel like Richard Starkings and Comic Craft at the time, that was the one I was like, oh, they're lettering this.
Yeah,
I know what that means. Favorite editor: Axel Alonso for the Spider-Man books, Eddie Berganza for the Superman books. Absolutely not. He was excommunicated for abusing people. Renee Gerlings for Witchblade, Stuart Moore for the Marvel Knights books, and Bob Schreck for Batman books. And he's related to Schreck, so that's pretty cool.
So that's pretty huge.
I don't know. Marvel Knights.
Marvel Knights was great. I love Marvel Knights.
That's a good, I would shout there.
And Stuart Moore, good guy. Let's give it to him. Favorite hero: Daredevil, Green Arrow, Punisher, Spider-Man, or Superman?
Punisher.
What era is Green Arrow on the favorite hero list? This is
from Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith's run. Yeah, I was going to say, which is interesting. It's artistically referenced in this week's Green Arrow.
Yes,
it is.
It is.
Yeah.
So shouts to that.
But I think Spider-Man is the ultimate Spider-Man era. That's what they list. And I feel like you got to give it to that. Or maybe Daredevil. I don't know.
Punisher all day.
I would say Daredevil. This Daredevil era was, with David Mack doing the art, was the best.
Yeah.
Introduction of Echo. That storyline is so good.
Wow, that was cool.
Favorite heroine: Batgirl, Elektra, Frey, Arwen, which is from Sojourn. These guys love Sojourn.
Wow. And
Witchblade.
Can I go with Elektra? Wow. On
Batgirl, he said? I'm there with Batgirl.
I'm going to throw it out to Witchblade, I think, just because that to me feels
a secret Witchblade fan.
I am a secret Witchblade fan, but also, like, if we're going to talk the 2000s.
It's pink Witchblade.
Yeah.
What do you love about Witchblade? You just love
She's got a witch blade. That's one thing about her that I think is pretty good.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
we got a lot more of these. Let's get through them. Favorite villain: Cassandra Nova, Lex Luthor, Magneto, Manchester Black, or Moreland?
What?
Who's absolute bottom Moreland? For me. I cannot stand
Moreland. You hate Moreland. Yeah, that was a very much a time for Spider-Man that was dealing with Moreland. I mean, Cassandra Nova was definitely the most exciting villain on that list.
Okay.
Yes. That's one that I felt like that character is never going to come back. And then she did. And it was kind of great. So, yeah, I'd give it up for her, too. It's surprising they don't list Magneto for new X-Men. I wonder if the Zorn reveal hadn't happened yet.
Is it Greg Pox Magneto when he did his...
No, it's Ultimate X-Men Magneto.
Yeah.
Favorite supporting character: Dina Pilgrim from Powers, Donna Troy from Wonder Woman, Dupe from X-Force, Ezekiel.
Stop the list Spider-Man. Right there. You said it, I agree.
Wait, hold on. Mary Jane Watson from Ultimate Spider-Man.
Dupe.
Mary Jane. Dupe. Dupe's a fake. Dupe's a fad.
No,
get out of here, Dupe. You didn't do shit. Dupe is a rehash Slimer. Dupe's a rehash Slimer, and you know it. Absolutely. And he didn't do much.
No. Go fuck yourself.
Favorite ongoing series: G.I. Joe, Green Arrow, New X-Men, Ultimate Spider-Man, or Ultimate X-Men?
G.I. Joe.
What are you talking about?
In 2001? I don't know. New X-Men. I know we've been
in New X-Men. Huh? New X-Men, I feel like you could trace a line between the new X-Men era and the Hickman Krakoa era.
Absolutely. So, favorite one-shot or miniseries? Daredevil, Yellow, Fathom, Killian's Tide, Just a Pilgrim, Just Imagine Stan Lee, or Wolverine Origin? Wolverine, I got to say, of those, personally, Wolverine Origin. What do you guys think?
I mean, I don't really... Daredevil, I think I'm going to have to go Daredevil and Yellow. Yeah. Like, Wolverine Origin was fine, but that was more about the fact of it as opposed to the series, I thought was sort of a wander. Mm-hmm. And Daredevil Yellow wasn't the best of the Loeb Sale collaborations, but it was still cool, I think.
Favorite publisher? We're getting towards the end here. We just have four more. Favorite publisher? CrossGen Comics, Dark Horse Comics, DC Comics, Marvel Comics, or Top Cow Productions?
Wow.
No Straight Image on there?
That's interesting.
Wizard Magazine. What are we doing?
Got to say Marvel or DC, right?
Yeah, I think this is a Marvel time right now.
I don't know. Dark Horse must have been doing some.
Dark Horse is great.
I like Dark Horse. I think just based on the rest of this poll, I'm going to go with Marvel, though. But favorite comic merchandise, Batman Vengeance from Ubisoft, Hellboy Nodder from Hourglass Studios, Juggernaut Mini Bust from Bowen Design, Optimus Prime Mini Bust from Hard Hero Enterprises, or Spider-Man 2 Enter Electro from Activision.
We're in too deep here.
I'm going to say none of these. Absolutely none of these.
Yeah.
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime Mini Bust. All right, fair enough. Favorite comic TV or movie project? Oh my God.
Blade. There's going to be Blades on there.
What a dark time we're in. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Justice League, which I guess is the cartoon, probably.
Yeah, it has to be.
Okay. And Smallville, Witchblade, or X-Men Evolution?
Justice League.
Justice League. No contest. And here we go. Last one. Comics greatest moment of 2001. I'm sorry. Wolverine waxes Magneto from Ultimate X-Men number 6.
Waxes means kill, or is that like a hair thing?
I'm not 100% sure. Wolverine pops claws for the first time in Wolverine Origin number 2. Superman defeats the Elite from Action Comics number 775. Peter Parker reveals he's Spider-Man to Mary Jane in Ultimate Spider-Man 13. And Professor X shoots Cassandra Nova in New X-Men 115.
Hoo-wee!
That's an easy one. I'm sorry. Peter Parker reveals his spirit to Mary Jane.
That
issue with it's just Peter and Mary Jane sitting there and talking in his bedroom about him being Spider-Man is iconic. That was like, they had been playing for the trade. This is one that was played for the issue. It was Brian Mangold Bendis doing what he does best, which is dialogue.
Conversation.
Fantastic. Great issue.
Great issue. Agree. That's the pick. I would also give a shout out to Professor X shooting Cassandra Nova, which I was like, when that happened, I was like, yo, this guy.
Professor X.
All right. It's very funny that I feel like you started to hate Cyclops over the years. And now that's spread to Professor X, and now you hate them both, and they're in the same weird bucket for you?
Yep.
Hilarious. You hate leadership.
Well, listen, that was very fun. Thank you, Robert Pettinato, for dropping that in the Slack. Yeah. And that is it.
There's no more room for quizzes on
this
show. We
should just do more quizzes, I feel like. We should do more quizzes.
I guess we can move on then with our trivia section.
This is the part we give back to the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online or Long John Silver's for some reason. We just need a brave volunteer, a first hand up, a Stray Bullets. If you want to just do regular trivia, we don't have any secret quizzes, but we do.
We got Pablo.
Oh, I turned that off too quick. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We got Stray Bullet says, I want to take the secret quiz. Mr. Coach Walker on
Mr. Coach Walker on Twitch. Yeah. Let's bring in, let's have Mr. Coach get it going.
Yeah, this is new blood.
New blood. All right, Mr. Coach Walker, you got it. Mr. Here, I'm going to type this in. Mr. Coach Walker.
All right.
Mr. Coach Walker says it's lonely over here on Twitch.
It is. It's lonely on it's only on Twitch. Just drop your answers in.
That's why I'm going with more of a Twitch vibe here. I'm trying to hype our Twitch. Purple. Nice. Purple all day.
That. Yeah. And after this, you're playing Minecraft for 6 hours, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right. Today's trivia is on some fun comic book facts and a small nod to the legend, Suzanne Summers. RIP to the Thighmaster herself. Here we go. Listen to all three options before making your selection. All right. Here we go. Question number one. Matter Eater Lad is from the planet blank. Is it A, Pepto, B, Bismol, or C, John Waters?
Wow.
So is it A, Don't Pick It, or is it B?
Well, let's see what he says.
That's a fun just.
Yeah, that's good. So that's you're not joke. Doing news anymore because of comic book club news? He says,
yeah, you do news every day 18 times a day, so there you take all the news, so
you can also do the news. It's all part of the
every
same.
Time I try to do that, you have some fucking piffy comment about how you covered it, you know.
Do you think
the
at the
before.
New York Times they're all like, oh, I was gonna do a story about that?
Oh yeah, that's what they do in the newsroom. No. They fight. I've worked in newsrooms before, bro. No. Don't come
the
at
person-
me.
I'm using it as a chance to plug this daily podcast that is draining every last bit of energy out of me.
Exactly. He's so dying.
Please help me out of
here. The guy doing the crossword doesn't have to check with the guy writing the story about Ukraine if he could throw a Ukraine question into the crossword.
That's true. He doesn't. But
Mr. Coach Walker says B. Is it B?
Yes, it is. All right. All right. Question number two. In DuckTales, what is the name of the gang who is always trying to rob Scrooge McDuck? Is it A, boy. The Beagle Boys, B, Dirty Mike and the Boys, or is it C, Sam Watterson?
Crash and the Boys.
Crash and the Boys. Great chance to plug, while we're waiting for Mr. Coach Walker, our Scott Pilgrim versus the podcast. We have talked through every volume of Scott Pilgrim. We got the movie recap. Talked for like an hour on that. That's coming up this
Great.
Week. And we're going to be talking about the video game. I started
video game.
Playing that as well.
I've been playing the shit out of it. And I'll tell you what, it does get hard. It does get quite hard.
I'm only on level 2 and it already got hard.
I'm on level 4 on the 4th Evil X and it is getting tricky.
Beagle Boys. Is
Beagle
that correct?
Boys. Yes.
Beagle Boys. There we go.
Last one. Deadshot's first appearance is in which comic? Is it A, Batman number 59? B, Villains, A Tragic Tale number 42, or C, Ricky Lake?
Wow. Good question.
A lot of interesting.
Hey, speaking of Ricky Lake, that's a great chance to plug Comic Book Club News, our daily podcast.
Alex, I listen every day. It's a lovely thanks. Way to kick my run off.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's very fun to do. Batman? Is that the
That is correct. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. There we go. Well, congratulations, Mr. Coach Walker. You've won a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Probably if you want it somewhere else, just let us know. Shoot us an email and we will get it off to you. What is the secret Suzanne Summers movie that you're hinting at, Pete?
I'm talking about the 1994 movie Serial Mom.
Wow. I remember that. What a throwback episode we've had here. Tell you what, let's throw it forward to comics that are coming out this week. There are so many of them.
Oh yeah.
So many that are worth talking about. Pete, what are you excited about that's coming out either today from DC Comics or tomorrow from literally everybody else?
Well, I'll do a little both. That came out today, Batman, Catwoman, The Gotham War, Red Hood number 2. Mm-hmm. I am loving this Gotham War event.
Really?
It's a lot of fun. And then Petrolhead number 1, I'm also really looking forward to.
Yes. And just mention Petrolhead is something that's coming out later on.
But it will be in the stack tomorrow.
It will be in the stack tomorrow. Yes, absolutely.
So there you go.
There you go. Justin, what about you? What are you looking forward to that's coming out this week?
That's coming out this week? That's a great question, because there are some other comics I'm looking forward to that are coming out in the future. Yeah, one of them is Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees Number Two.
Oh, man, that is
a banger. Woo!
Yeah, that's a banger.
But that's not coming out tomorrow. So why are, Alex, why are we talking about this?
Right yeah, now? Alex.
We're talking about some advanced comics. We get some comics in advance.
And it seems confusing, Alex.
I'm psyched about them.
I got to give it up to a book I talk about a lot, The Lonesome Hunters. The arc right now is called The Wolf Child, number four. Bringing this arc to a close, I believe. And, man, it's just a great book. If you're a fan of Hellboy, I would definitely get into that. And I do have another one. It's just hard to look through the list because there's so many comics on it.
I'm sorry.
No, I love
it. You're not sorry, you fucking ass bag.
I am.
I literally love it. No, I love it. Oh, that's another future one, but Crave number one from Image
Comics. A couple of ones that I was particularly interested to check out this week: Universal Monsters Dracula number one from the team behind Department of Truth. Very curious about that one. Also, there's two Wonder Woman titles, which is interesting. They're expanding that pretty rapidly. You got Wonder Woman number two, but also Amazon's Attack.
Yeah.
And a stealth one that I'll throw it out to is Hallows Eve, the Big Night number one.
Agree.
We really liked Hallows Eve. I was so surprised by it. And so when I saw this pop up, I was like, great. This is something that I didn't think I would like at all. Bring on more. Very happy about it. So there you go. Lots of stuff. As we've been talking about, I think we have 49 titles we're going to be talking about in this week's stack, which posts Wednesday at 9 a.m. in the stack feed of the comic book.
Hold on. We haven't recorded it yet. We'll see if it actually, let's see if it comes through. There's a high chance there could be several walkouts.
One of us might die by the time it comes out because it's so long.
Potentially. I don't want to point any fingers, but I have an idea of one person who might die.
We're all pointing at each other, by the way.
Yes, we are. It's totally unclear. Why don't we wrap up here then? That's it for this week's show. We want to thank Eddie Klinker and Jimmy Kutsai for coming on the show. Please do support Devil Paid Men. They're so close right now. So if you can kick them a couple of bucks, anything helps. Next week, no show. We're not going to do any show. It's Halloween night.
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween.
Candy,
we're going trick or treating together. We're all dressing up as Lock, Shock, and Barrel from Nightmare Before Christmas. I'll let you guess which one is which. But we will be back on November 7th with Emmett Nahill from Let Me Out and Jonathan Bayliss from So Buttons. Couple of things to plug. We also already mentioned Scott Pilgrim versus the Podcast. We'll have our movie episode is coming out this week. Comic Book Club News that's coming out daily. Marvel Vision, we are recapping Loki. Also, I'll mention the Doom Room. Our Doom Patrol podcast is back and recapping that. So check that out. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club. Woohoo!